Mother people, the main thing in today's bulletin, as far as announcements go, is that, of course, Wednesday of this week is Ash Wednesday, and it is the beginning of Lent, and as you know, it is a day of complete fast and complete abstinence for those who are of age. The other directions concerning Lent, I think, are in this week's bulletin, attachments that you have. So, of course, you know to read those over for how to interpret these regulations of fasting and abstaining and so on. But Wednesday should be a day of very special recollection. Not just prayer, but recollection. Today's epistle of St. Paul is, of course, of all the epistles in the book, this one is the best and the most important, and the one that we should be very intent upon listening. I'm sure that all of you have noticed in our bulletins in the past several weeks now that we have been speaking about the interior life. And to my complete surprise, I have learned that many of us simply do not have an inkling of what the interior life is. And simply because we follow the traditional Roman Catholic religion does in no way indicate that we are living, or that we understand, or that we comprehend the interior life. Today's epistle does not directly talk about the interior, does not in vocabulary talk about the interior life, but it tells you all about it. And if we have not charity, as is spoken of in today's epistle, no matter what we do, means nothing. Now, we will be quick to interpret this word charity in that we have to go around loving everybody. That does not have any dealings whatsoever with what we're talking about. That we have to be lovey-dovey to everybody, and that we have to always have a pasted smile and a smiley face upon us all the time to make sure that everybody sees that I feel good, you feel good, and everybody feels good. So everybody's happy in the house. That's not what this charity means. That's not what the interior life means. I've also come to the conclusion, unfortunately, that there are those who do follow the traditional Catholic way of life, but whose Catholicism is in very, very deformed. They do not have the proper attitude of Catholicism. And it isn't any wonder then that if our offspring or our brothers or our sisters or our mothers or our fathers or our friends or our neighbors are by no means affected in the good way, by no means affected by our Catholicism and the way we present Catholicism, it isn't any wonder that they have a weak look toward it, or that they even look at it at all. Some of our Catholicism is simply a manufactured variety of some kind of something or other that we have read about, or that we have conjured up, or that we have suspected is Catholic, but it isn't. I can truthfully say, at least I hope I can truthfully say, with some measure of accuracy, that in our bulletins we are trying to present a kind of Catholicism that once inspired people. You want to know something? As I have told you on other occasions, our bulletins are being sent out across the country. There are several places that get our bulletins. And you want to know? There are more than just a few who resent what we have to say, and who think that our Catholicism is not the type that is proper and correct. I fear that in too many places, the Catholicism that we as traditionalists are trying to promote is a kind of an artificial, manufactured strictness that is pasted on at best. And it doesn't go beyond the paste-on condition. And this morning, St. Paul very clearly indicated that if our observance of the law of Jesus Christ is not proper, if our observance of the law of Jesus Christ is not as Jesus Christ wants it lived, if the law is not kept, if we do not keep ourselves in charity, and let us surround everything we do with this word charity, that it profits us nothing. But somehow, there are those of us who feel, or the deep-seated feeling, that so long as we are doing something good, doing extra prayers, extra rosaries, extra, little tidbitty things, you know, so long as we are doing something of that nature, that we're all right. And St. Paul today clearly says, if you give your body up to be burned, and you have not charity, it profits you nothing. And in our own affairs, in our Benedictine communities, it is a clear teaching. It is a clear teaching that a man can live in a monastery for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and be an absolute model, a total model of obedience and kindness and charity and humility and all of the other things. Can be absolutely pointed to as that man is the example of perfection. And it is totally possible, that that man can go to hell. Why? Because all of his activity was simply an external activity. And this is where my traditionalist brothers are opposing me. Because they present a picture, as long as I am being obedient, as long as I am being good, as long as I... Well, there are plenty of people outside that for purely natural reasons are good and live what we would classify a holy life. But on a purely natural plane, this gets them nothing. We have to learn what the interior life is if we are ever to expect to change the heart of man. Let's look at our children. As long as they are under our thumb, they obey. But as soon as they become of age, what are they? What are they doing? Members of our families, wherever. We have to take this business concerning God. Either we take it seriously and completely and thoroughly and absolutely, or we don't take it at all. There's nothing in between the two. They are as far apart as east is from west. When the next little booklet of ours comes out, which should be, we brought it to the printers this past Friday, so that means that within the next 6 weeks, you will be getting the bulletin, that is that little speculum booklet that we put out around Easter time. We will be seeing and reading the suggestion that we should go and visit the Holy Family in the Holy Family's house. We should bring ourselves to go there. And we should, after all, the invitation is a standing invitation anyway. It's a matter of us doing it and visiting. And we shall see there what we should be doing, what we should be acting, how we should be acting. Not just on an hour's time on Sunday or whatever, but let us carry our lives all the way through the 24 hours. As we look inside the house of the Holy Family, as we look at Jesus, as we look at Mary, as we look at Joseph, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Did any one of these three ever stand out for anything at all? Did they stand out, oh look, oh that's a holy place over there. Those people are holy Joes, you know. They're not my kind. They're not my variety. Did you ever see hysteria in there? Did you ever see immodesty in there? Can you imagine when we have all kinds of devotions to the Blessed Mother, don't we? We're always praying to the Blessed Mother for this and the Blessed Mother for that. And our prayer books are bulging with prayers to the Blessed Mother. And how we follow her around as if, you know, but do we act like the Blessed Mother, ladies? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Are we at all of the mentality of Mary? Let us be honest with ourselves. That's the thing we must learn to do, is to be honest with ourselves. And it is time. When I was a child, I thought as a child. But now I don't think, I'm not talking to children. I'm talking to full grown-ups. Do we, the women, act like Mary 24 hours a day? In the kitchen, on the street, in the automobile, in the bedroom, wherever a woman goes and takes her steps in the course of a day's time. Is our religion only at certain moments, and then do we forget it? And then do we become and turn on another personality? And the men, as they look at St. Joseph, and of course there again, our books are bulging with prayers to St. Joseph. How much like St. Joseph do we, the men, act like? What is our temper? As we too must walk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what kind of religion do you think St. Joseph would be living? You know, we've put this Holy Family in the time of the reign of Octavius Augustus. Why God chose that particular time, nobody knows. This was strictly God's business. Nobody knows why Christ was born during those days. He could just as well have been born today. In the midst of all of this that we're going through, how do you suppose these three people would go about life today if they were in the flesh walking around us in our neighborhood? Do you think they'd be standing out like sore thumbs? If Mary or Jesus or Joseph would stand out in some of the representations that we traditionalist people are putting paint on. Yes, we are. We're painting these three individuals. We're painting them rather than us. How do you suppose that these three, that Jesus would be going around acting as some of us act, and we expect to have his blessing? That Joseph would go around acting? What kind of an image do we, right now, as I'm speaking of St. Joseph, what would he look like in your own mind's eye, your imagination? How have you got St. Joseph figured out? Mary. How have we got Mary figured out? If she were to walk in here right now, how many heads do you suppose would turn to look at her? Of Christ himself would walk in here right now, in the flesh. Just walk in here and pay us a visit and be sitting amongst us. How many heads do you think would turn could say, wow, who is he? Let's get honest, my dear people. We have distorted. And we are being taught to distort. And some of the pictures that we could be, some of these distortions that we have even of God Almighty himself. If God Almighty is as some of us picture him to be, I speak as a fool. I'm not terribly sure that I would be interested in him. That's where we are. We are not looking at things as they should be looked at, and there is a constant, the deterioration that we see in evidence all around us as stepping out. Every morning you get out of your house, you go into your car, you go from point A to point B, you can tell deterioration from the day before, and the day before that, and the day before that. The deterioration is constant, it is noticeable, and it's there. And here we are, you know, here we are, in our cozy little nooks, and we think that this is the whole world we're looking at in here. Pouring a drop of water in the Atlantic Ocean would cause as much of a turmoil. But we satisfy ourselves to say that that drop will eventually cause a tidal wave. Makes no sense. It starts with me. I am the one that I must conquer. Not my neighbor, not my brother or my sister or my son or my daughter. I must be the one that must be conquered first. And if I can conquer myself first, you can bet that there's somebody that is looking and that is watching and that is seeing me conquer me and is seeing the willingness in me to conquer myself before all other things. And he too will follow the example. The same as walking into the house of Nazareth. How many of us, on a regular 24-hour-a-day basis, looking at it, go around the clock, 24 hours, 7 days a week, how many of us would walk into the presence of Mary, dressed as some of us dress in the period at one time or another of those 24 hours? Could we bring ourselves to walk in the presence of that awesome person? Or Joseph? I'm not speaking that we should dress with, you know, the places to go, I understand that there is somebody at the door who measures every female that walks into the church for to see how far down the sleeves come, if they're an inch too short, or the neckline is an inch too low, or the knee length is an inch too something, that they're not allowed. And I'm not speaking of that foolishness, but there are plenty of places that are doing just that today. And we call that Catholic. That's not Catholic, my dear people. That's not Catholic. If Mary would walk into this room right now and sit amongst us right now, in the year 2000, she would be dressed as we dress today, and it would be totally proper. Completely proper. Above criticism, above notice, above everything. But you walk outside and look at our women. How do we dress on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday afternoons? You know? I speak of women. I'm not on women today. I'm just as much on men as on women. But we have got to keep this Catholicism as it affects our interior being. If we are obedient interiorly, we are automatically obedient in all of our actions. If we are humble interiorly, our exterior activity of humility is not a paste on. If we are pure interiorly, we do not go about doing pure looking actions. Those are empty actions which mean nothing. At the slightest provocation, we're off and running. An interior person cannot be pushed to one side or another of an action, because it is his very being to be good, to be humble, to be patient, to be charitable, to be pure. And you want to know? I'll close with this. Are we, or can we, as a group of people, others, of course, involved, can we truthfully say that within our hearts we have ingrained happiness? What is our happiness level? 24 hours a day. What is our joy level? 24 hours a day. And so on, and so on. And to the degree that we are happy, to the degree that we have joy in our hearts, to the degree that we have serenity in our hearts, to the degree that we have peace in our hearts, to that degree are we living Catholicity. Because true Catholicity will bring happiness and joy and peace and serenity and trust in God. This is what we must look at. And it isn't a matter of going back and looking at Saint so-and-so, whoever, which we have a tendency to do, and to quote saints, and to do the extraordinary things. And we tell ourselves that we have to do extraordinary things too in order to be pleasing to God. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph did not do anything that was noticeable. As a matter of fact, what was the only thing that they could say about Christ when he went out in his public life? Well, for goodness sake, who in the world is that? Isn't he Isn't he the carpenter? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Just who in the world is he? You know? That's how noticeable Jesus Christ was for the first 30 years of his life. And they lived in a small burg of a city, busybodies, nosy people who were constantly looking at everybody's business. Where if this man had done the slightest thing that was unusual, it would have been immediately grabbed. And he would have been noticed. But he wasn't. And yet, his was the perfect interior existence. And he was constantly in God's presence. Constantly. So as we approach Lent, let's not go into Lent with a whole bunch of idiotic resolutions that last about 2 days, and then we go right back to where we began. If we walk into Lent and then walk out of Lent in the same condition that we walked into Lent, then we need to take some very serious, we need to do some very serious examining of just where we stand and where we are. Lent is serious business. That's why this epistle was particularly chosen for this particular day, just before Ash Wednesday. That no matter what we do, if it is not from an interior, if it's not coming from our interior life, it is totally wasted effort. Totally wasted. And we have to understand this. During Lent, let us have the courage. Let us have the courage to accept the invitation of the Holy Family. And let us have the courage. They'll let us. They'll be very happy for us too. To spend a week with them. Think we can do it? Men, bring clothes that are proper. And women, bring clothes that are proper. And be prepared for the shock of your life. Be prepared. They're not going to stand over you and take everything and, oh, don't do that. That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. No. You can't do that. They will not intrude. They will not open their mouths to correct you. They won't have to. Because you will see it in them, and you will be the one to say to yourself, that's the way I want to be. And that's the way I'm going to be. And then later, invite them to come and spend a week with you and see how much activity will be put into practice just before they get there, and see how much house cleaning you'll have to do. And how many things you're going to have to change just at the thought of these three people coming to stay with you for 1 week. And look at your own behavior, how you act and how you will act when these three people come into your house. Now, dear people, it's time for us to get serious with the problem and to understand where things are. It is no longer time for us to think as children. We're grown. And we're living in a world that is completely ignoring the possible existence of a divinity. And the faith that exists in us, the faith that exists in our children, the faith that will exist in our children's children, we have cause to worry about. And teaching them the catechism, where some of us think so long as you know the catechism, you're safe, you may just as well memorize the dictionary for all the good it will do. The catechism is nothing more than a glorified dictionary reference book. The catechism does not, and this is on tape, the catechism does not teach one how to be holy. That's not the purpose of the catechism. The catechism merely presents the law. And that is that. But we have to work to be holy. And then we can look at Easter and say, thank God for the beauty of it all. I will see you again before Easter. But at any rate, God bless you. And let us stay strong. And let us believe. And ask God to help us in our unbelief.